Welcome to Locked On Yankees. I'm Jesse Spector, the editor of LockedOnYankees.com, a lifelong New Yorker and a former daily news and sporting news guy, now found in a variety of other places as a freelancer, including here. It'll be fun. Let's have fun. And what could be more fun for the Yankees than a day off? Well, winning games, but the Yankees won even for not playing on Monday because they moved into first place in the American League East all by themselves when the Red Sox lost to the A's. Nice turnabout by the A's there. I guess if you're the Yankees, you go from playing them over the weekend to being their biggest fans when they go up to Boston. So I'll talk a little bit about where the Yankees stand right now, a quarter of the way through their season today. Also going to talk about some injury updates. Brandon Drury, Greg Bird, and Billy McKinney all with things to update on their progress coming back from injuries, and look forward to this two-game series, I guess, potential World Series preview if you believe that the Washington Nationals are ever going to win a first-round series. We'll take a look at that two-game series a little bit later on. But first, I do want to talk about where the Yankees are. 40 games in out of the 162, so it'll be a few innings into their next game that the Yankees are officially a quarter of the way through the season. But they're officially, they're a quarter of the way through. It's 162. They've played 40. You're at that place where you can basically multiply by four and figure things out, and you can see that the Yankees are a team that is, first and foremost, at 28-12, the Yankees are on pace for 112 wins if you just do the multiplication by four there. So that would be a real good season. 112 wins. 112-50. I think you would sign up for that. Of course, the Red Sox are right there with them, and it's going to be one of those that goes down through the whole year. This is just how it's going to be. We saw last week that the Red Sox are a real good team. We saw it at Fenway. We've seen that the Yankees are a real good team. And they, so far, seem to bring out the best in each other, which is a good thing because we've certainly seen it before over the years that these are teams that are capable of bringing out the worst in each other. So we will look forward to their next meeting in another month or so. But in the meantime, the Yankees have four guys right now in double-digit home runs. Aaron Judge has 11. Giancarlo Stanton, Gary Sanchez, Didi Gregorius all have 10. And I think that it's worth noting here that Stanton and Sanchez have struggled to do much other than the home run for much of the season. And that when they really do hit, they hit even more home runs. And that Didi Gregorius has basically not hit at all in the month of May. And I think you have to be a little bit concerned about when he got kicked in the head at the beginning of that homestand, and then really, took about a week before he hit again. And you just hope that he's okay and that there's nothing underlying there from that kick in the head, but that's always a tough thing. But, you're talking about two guys there that haven't hit very much at all season, and one guy that was on fire in April and has really cooled off in May, but all with double-digit homers. Judge has been pretty steady all the way through. So that means all those guys are on pace for 40. Now, will they all get there? I don't know. But I do know this. If three of them get there, that's Major League history. And particularly, it's American League history. That's never happened in the American League. There's never been an American League team that had three guys with 40 homers. It's happened three times ever. First time was Atlanta in 1973. Hank Aaron, Darrell Evans, and Davey Johnson. And then the 96 and 97 Rockies with actually two different trios, which is pretty interesting. In 96, it was Ellis Burks, Vinny Castilla, and Andres Galarraga. In 97, it was Castilla and Galarraga, but Larry Walker rather than Ellis Burks. So that's some history that the Yankees are very capable of making this year. It depends on everybody staying healthy and continuing to hit home runs. But is there anything that you've seen, at least with Judge, Stanton, and Sanchez, that would suggest to you that those guys are not going to be 40 home run hitters this year? I sure don't think so. And especially if you get into the summer. You know, this what we've been through here is the toughest quarter of the season in which to hit home runs. You usually see the home run totals really start to go up later in the year as the weather gets hot and the ball really starts to fly. And I think especially as Sanchez and Stanton hit more in general, there will be more home runs for them too. So we could be seeing some history here with the Yankees, and it is not too early to start thinking about that, because that is the kind of form that these guys have had, even with a couple of them not really at their best for most to all of the year. There's another thing that the Yankees are on pace for, which would be another American League record. This one would be a tie for an American League record. The Yankees have 5 relievers on pace for 60 appearances. They got David Robertson's at 19 right now. Aroldis Chapman's at 18. Chad Green's at 18. Dylan Betances is 17. And Chasen Shreve's 16. Now, there has been a team before with 6 relievers making 60 appearances, and that was last year's Rockies, who set the major league record when Mike Dunn, Greg Holland, Jake McGee, Scott Oberg, Adam Ottavino, and Chris Russo all did it. It's also, that shows you that it can be done for a quality team, and the Rockies really did rely on that bullpen a lot last year. They had a young rotation and a really strong bullpen that got them through and helped make them a playoff team. It's something, if you don't follow the Rockies, and if you're a Yankees fan, you don't have a whole lot of reason to. They're in the other league and on the other side of the country. They are not the Blake Street Bombers of Burks, Garcia, Galarraga, and Larry Walker. They are a pitching-oriented team, and yeah, they've got Nolan Arenado, and they've got Charlie Blackmon, and DJ LeMay, who's on the DL right now. They've got a couple of hitters there, but it's a really offensively challenged Rockies team, and they are again relying on that bullpen to get them where they are. So that was not a fluke last year, and that was kind of by design, but it's also something that with the Yankees, and the Yankees have done this once before. There have been 37 teams previously, in addition to those Rockies who used 6 last year. 37 teams, and the AL record is shared by 12 teams all since 2000 when the Twins did it for the first time. Teams that have used at least 5 relievers, that have used 5 relievers at least 60 times. The 2006 Yankees are the only Yankees team to do it, and they did it with the illustrious group of Kyle Farnsworth, Mike Myers, Scott Proctor, Ron Valone, and of course Mariano Rivera. You know what happens, and you know what happens late in the year when you use relievers that much, and I think that it happened to the Rockies somewhat last year too, and you see it happen with lots of teams. And this is, you know, one of the ways that the San Francisco Giants have been successful under Bruce Bochy is that they've very rarely overextended their relievers, and the Yankees are in danger of that right now. And I think that you've seen that in some of the ineffectiveness that these relievers have had at times. On the bullpen, it was as good as they've been, having some hiccups. It is important for the Yankees to get Tommy Canley and Adam Warren back and get them back healthy. And, you know, they will get back. And that is where this bullpen's depth is so vital to them, because it's not just about what they can do individually. It's about using the group and the strength of the group to keep themselves fresh. And I don't think, and obviously not, that the guys that are there now at the back end of that bullpen, and Jonathan Holder has pitched himself into consideration for some higher leverage spots, but he's still, you know, a step below. But Aaron Boone's not using David Hale and AJ Cole in really big time important situations. I know that Cole got the win in an extra inning game against the A's, but that's extra innings is a different kettle of fish. Those are basically the Canley and Warren spots on the roster. You have the room for the sort of one long man, mop-up man kind of deal. And that's kind of the spot that Holder's occupying right now. And he's been pushed into a little bit more of the important work situations. So Yankees want to get those guys back and get themselves whole and full in the bullpen so that they don't wear these guys out, because they're not just planning to go 162. They're planning to go an additional month at the end of this. So that's important to keep in mind. It's also important to keep in mind that if you would like to advertise on Locked On Yankees, you can. And you should. send an email to LockedOnNYY@gmail.com, and we'll get you set up. That's LockedOnNYY@gmail.com. So Brandon Drury, we've been expecting his return from the migraines and blurred vision. It is not happening yet. Brandon Drury has been optioned to AAA Scranton. He still had the minor league options available, and it seems like a case where, you know, he's not entirely physically ready. That, you know, there's still stuff to work out about seeing, and, you know, amazingly, as Drury works through these vision issues, he's hit .315, .433, .481 with two homers in 17 minor league games, mostly with Scranton, a little with Trenton. He's going to be in Scranton for the foreseeable future because that is officially the team that he is with now. Brandon Drury has been optioned to the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre Railriders, so he is right now a minor league player, which really speaks to how deep this Yankees team is, that they can do that with a guy that they traded for, and really not for reason of poor performance that they sent him down. It's to get himself right, and they were in a weird spot where the rehab assignment was expiring, so the Yankees had to do something by Tuesday, either extend the rehab assignment by basically pulling him back and say there was a setback or some other issue that needed to make that happen, or they could just use the option, and they used the option. You know, Drury, you get three option years, and Drury had not used all of his when he was in the Atlanta or Arizona organizations, so it is of use to the Yankees now. Not the situation, you know, there's never a situation where you want to use it because it means that something's gone wrong that you're sending a guy down to the minors, but now Drury has all the time that he needs to get himself right and to get himself healthy and to make things happen. The Yankees do now have two other guys who are on rehab assignments, hitters working their way back. Greg Bird and Billy McKinney both went to Double-A Trenton, and they were both they had both been 2-for-8 in three games with Tampa, High A in the Florida State League. And Bird went 0-for-3 in Monday's game. McKinney was 0-for-4. Bird came out after seven innings for a defensive replacement. It seems like that was the plan for him in his first Double-A game. McKinney, you know, 0-for-4, played almost all the way. He was taken out late in the game, too. Billy McKinney is somebody I would not expect to. I would think that he's going to get... When his rehab time is up, I think that Billy McKinney is going to get that Brandon Drury treatment, you know, for the different reason. McKinney was called up initially because the Yankees were dealing with, you know, the injury to Aaron Hicks, so he was called up, and then he starts, and he gets himself hurt in Toronto on that first weekend of the season and wound up being, you know, on the DL after that with the sprained left shoulder. But you know, certainly he's an important guy as far as depth goes, but now Clint Frazier is around too. And I would think that, you know, the way that Clint Frazier has fared since he got to AAA, that he's going to be the primary option if the Yankees need to call somebody up to play in the outfield. Frazier on Sunday went 3-for-5 with a home run, his second straight day with a home run in AAA, second straight three-hit game. In 12 games with Scranton, he's hitting .362 with three homers and an 1125 OPS. I think Clint Frazier's got it down as far as AAA goes. You know, there's still work that he can do defensively, but it is still important for him to just be getting the regular at-bats, and he wouldn't be getting them at the major league level, not on a team that has Hicks and Gardner and Stanton and Judge. Yeah, that's just there's not room there for Clint Frazier to be on the roster and get major league at bats on a regular basis. He needs, wherever he's going to be, he needs to be getting at bats because he's 23. He's still on the rise. You know, he on almost every other team, in the major leagues, he would be a major leaguer right now. But he's with the Yankees. And, you know, it's kind of a blessing and a curse because you're with this team and you got a chance to, you know, get a World Series ring. But at the same time, you're not getting to play in the major leagues. That stinks. It's tough to deal with. So we'll see what happens with Clint Frazier, with the rest of the Yankees outfield, with Billy McKinney, with Greg Bird, with everybody who's not currently on the major league roster. We'll keep tabs on all of them here because that's what we do. But in the meantime, I should tell you that if you'd like to subscribe to the Locked On Yankees podcast, you should do that. And you can do so on iTunes, on Spotify, on Stitcher, on Last.fm, on Podbean, on whatever it is. If you are not finding Locked On Yankees on your podcast subscription service of choice, please let us know. Tweet to @LockedOnYankees or send that email to LockedOnNYY@gmail.com. Thank you. So the Yankees are now into some interleague play. They are 1-1 so far this year in interleague play, having split a home series with the Miami Marlins. The Yankees now go to our nation's capital, where we see the Washington Nationals suddenly, off the mat themselves. They had had an even more sluggish start than the Yankees, but they won 6-7 out on the West Coast, West Coast / Arizona, swept the Diamondbacks in 4 games over the weekend. So the Nats are going well. Bryce Harper is going well. Bryce Harper is going to get to hear his first round of questions about, you know, playing with the Yankees and free agency and all that. And it's always a joy to get his no comment about that, because that is what, that is the protocol for this kind of thing. Bryce Harper has to be asked, and Bryce Harper has to say no comment in whatever roundabout way he wants to say it. Pretty good pitching matchups down there in D.C. Masahiro Tanaka against Gio Gonzalez in Game 1. CC Sabathia against Max Scherzer in Game 2. You would think that, given the Yankees' predominantly right-handed power lineup, that the Tanaka-Gonzalez matchup is the one that favors them a little bit more, especially as good as Tanaka has been on the road. Although CC, you know, as a lefty going against the Nats, not the worst possible matchup for him. Scherzer, though, is a tough one. And, you know, he's one of the elite pitchers in the game. Back-to-back reigning Cy Young winner in the National League. Strikes out everybody. The Yankees strike out a lot. He's not a guy who, you know, he runs a high pitch count, sure, because he strikes out a lot of guys, but it doesn't bother him the same way that it does a lot of pitchers. That's why he's one of the best in the game. The Yankees have their work cut out for them in that Wednesday game, and that means that they will feel a little bit of pressure to do some business on Tuesday. They, of course, will take it, as we all know, one game at a time. They should both be fun games to watch. Those are two good matchups. It is a potential World Series matchup. But again, like I said at the top of the show, that's if you believe the Nationals are ever going to get their way out of the first round. But, you know, they are still, at least as far as I'm concerned. I know that Atlanta's got the best record in the National League right now. Nationals are still the team to beat in the National League East. You know, what happens after they get out of that division is another story. But in that division, they are the team to beat. And, you know, the Yankees, I think you could call them that right now, too. You know, they've split their 6 games with the Red Sox. So it's either one of them. You know, they're the co-teams to beat. If you, and it's funny. It's the middle of May, and we already have a pretty good idea of exactly how everything's going to shake out in the American League, and the fact that it's going to be, you know, the Yankees and Red Sox battling down to the wire, and potentially 200-win teams, and one of them having to go to a one-game playoff. And that's just how it is. That's the system. It's a whole lot better still than 1993 when, you know, you had Atlanta win 104, the Giants won 103, and the Giants had to go home. So you take that. You know, it's the one-game playoff is not ideal as far as the wild card goes, but that game's fun every year. And if you want to move on, you got to win that game. And if you want to avoid that, go out and win the games that you need to win during the regular season. Yankees have 2 more of those coming up in D.C., kicking off this road trip that will also take them to Kansas City and Texas. Should be a good time, and we'll be with you all the way here on Locked On Yankees. Thanks for tuning in, and we will see you next time.